Good morning. I welcome you to our services this morning. It's good to see those who are here. Also, remember those that aren't. We have several that are sick and unable to be here today. So we want to, of course, remember them in prayer and lift them up. I've been doing a series of messages on the seven deadly sins. This is test time. And I want to see how well you have retained or remember the things that we've talked about. One of the things that we clear up right from the beginning and that was said is that this thing called the seven deadly sins, you really aren't going to open up your Bible and see it say, these are the seven. But all of the ones we've talked about and the things that we've mentioned, that's all in Scripture, it's all true. A monk some 200 years ago came up with this, these are the bad ones, these are the seven deadly sins. So we've decided to study those a little bit. So here's the test, and I don't want everybody to shout it out all at one time. Somebody, who can tell me what are the seven? Okay. What's that? Gluttony. Oh, yes, gluttony. Now, you guys help me to keep these straight because I might get mixed up. Gluttony. That's the one that Donna kept saying to me, how are you going to talk on gluttony? Well, we learned a lot about it and that gluttony has a lot more to do with than just with food, didn't we?
That was my favorite.
Your favorite? Okay. All right. I've got stories on all of these, so you guys better be careful. What's another? Pride. You know, that was the best sermon I've ever done. That was such a good sermon, and everybody just thought I was fantastic. Yeah, pride. That was number one. That was a biggie. What else? We've got two of them.
Lust.
Now, I had somebody in the congregation that was real interested in that one. And wanted to know, what are you going to say about lust? As a matter of fact, this particular individual, and I'm not mentioning names, this particular individual said, well, next Sunday you're going to be talking about lust, and I'm not going to be here. Well, as it worked out, I think we had Labor Day in there or something like that, and so actually they did get to be here and hear about lust, and we talked about that and all that was involved with it. So good. Now, what else we got?
Greed.
Greed. Okay, greed was another one of, man, we just can't get enough, can we? You know, it's that manna we talked about, and, you know, God was providing this for the Israelites, and, you know, they just couldn't get enough. What else?
Sloth.
Oh, sloth. Yeah, sloth. That was another one. It's just... I had a hard time with that when I was so tired and I had other things to do and, you know, TV to watch. What else? You guys are doing good. Pride, greed, lust, gluttony, sloth. We're only missing two. One of them's today's. What was the other one? I can't believe you guys don't understand what it is. Thank you. All right, I do that every so often just to get your attention, and everybody's awake now, and your hearts are started. And today we're going to move on. I want to start by telling you a story. There was a man that had a brother, and it appeared, and all appearances were, that he loved his brother. And one day, both brothers had put together, and they brought a gift, something that they'd each made, very special, a gift that they brought to their father. The older brother's gift, it was presented, but was rejected by his father. When his younger brother presented his gift, he watched as his father accepted a gift and praised him for such a thoughtful gift. And when he saw his younger brother getting all of this praise, he became angry. And his father saw the anger, or his, shoo, I'm getting all messed up this morning. His father saw the brother's anger and explain to the older son that although he had made a mistake in what he chose to give, that it was okay as long as the next time he did it right. Now this evidently didn't make him feel much better and caused his anger to even get worse. Every time he looked at his younger brother, the anger was still present. And finally, his anger became so great that he killed his brother. Now, you may wonder, as we talk about this, you may be thinking, well, is this a true story? Or if you could ever become so angry at a loved one that you would do this, that you would kill them. Let me tell you, it's a true story. It's a story of older brother's anger that grew out of being envious of the praise that his father gave to his younger brother. Envy is the last one we're going to talk about today, and envy is one of the seven deadly sins. Sometimes it's listed third, but it's just we really don't put these in any order. Envy is defined as discontent and ill will over another's advantages. Possessions, that type of thing. A desire to have something that someone else has. Listen to this. I'll tie it all together. This kind of jumps a little for you, but love is patient. Love is kind. Love actively seeks the good of others for their sake. Envy resents the good others receive, or even might receive. Envy is the most indistinguishable, is sometimes almost indistinguishable from pride because they can be very close. And the true story that I shared with you, the root cause was the older brother's anger. It was envy. And when he saw that his father accepted his younger brother's gift and praised him for that gift, he became envious because he wanted the praise that his brother was receiving. And when he didn't receive it, it resulted in him becoming angry. You know, as we've been going through these, every week somebody has stepped up and said, "Oh, yeah, that was me. Why did you talk about me today?" I didn't. It was really just these are the things that get in our heart. Envy is huge. And people carry a lot of envy and they don't even think about it. But there's a lot of other things that come from it. Consider what would have happened if the one brother would have received praise, or if he'd have received the praise of his brother and was the one, the other brother was the one who had messed up. The outcome probably would have been totally different. Well, envy is a sin that carries others with it. In other words, envy doesn't come along by itself. With envy, you get anger. With envy, you get jealousy. With envy, you get rivalry. It's all a part of it, and it can result in one doing something in the heat of the moment that under normal circumstances, they wouldn't do. The story that I shared is based on the story of Cain and Abel, and it is found in Genesis 4, 1 through 15, if you ever want to read it. But there is also another story in Genesis, in chapter 37, and it talks about envy too. I'm not going to get into it. It's not really part of what I'm talking on today. It's not for today's message. But I want to share a little bit about this. This is the story of Joseph and his brothers. You remember how the brothers hated Joseph? Why? Anybody? He was his dad's favorite. Envy! And they hated him because of it. And subsequently, they sold him into slavery. And it's not something that we can think and fantasize about not happening to us, because people do all kinds of terrible things when they're envious. It's a very real tool that Satan uses daily to hinder our growth as Christians. Do you ever have somebody come up to you and they're excited and they tell you about something great that's happening in their life? And something where somebody comes up, this is just one of my own, and because I'm going to be straightforward right now. Envy is something I have a problem with. I'm just telling you the truth. And I also think if we're honest, at some point all of us have this same thing. Somebody comes up and says, hey, guess what? I just won a gun. And I'm like, why couldn't it be me? I need to win a gun. I should get it. It should be. I go to the Pheasants Forever dinner. And they give away all kinds of guns and trips and things like that. And I sit there and I look at my ticket and, nope, that's not me. True story. This is envy at the max. I didn't get mad, though. We don't always have to get mad with any. I went to a Pheasants Forever dinner. I had my little ticket. One of the guys sitting at my table decided to leave because he couldn't stay for the whole thing. So he handed his door prize ticket to a young man sitting next to me. The kid was only like, you know, 12 years old. And sure enough, they get up, they read off, they're giving away this gun, and they read off the number. What number do you think came up? And I thought, why couldn't he give me that ticket? Envy. And it sneaks in a lot of different directions. Let me tell you something. Envy can cause us to stumble, and it can cause us to sin. Envy is a perverted, it's a perverted love, really, is what it is. And it's kind of like pride, because pride is the same way. Envy is perverted because it loves what other people possess rather than what is good and beautiful and true. It's often portrayed as eating away the heart of the envious person. I remember as a kid, now, like I said, guys, I'm always honest with you. I don't try to hide anything from you. And if you ask me questions, I try to be very straightforward. Envy is an issue that it's not as bad as it used to be. It's something I have to think about, though. My younger brother, growing up, got anything and everything. This is the truth. I remember one year at Christmas, the popular thing that year were these flight jackets, Air Force jackets. You know, real leather Air Force jackets. And so for Christmas, my brother gets this jacket, this really nice, all leather, beautiful flight coat, flight jacket. I got a plexi something or other, plastic jacket that was really ugly, really out of style. And that was what I had to wear to school for the winter. It bothered me. My sister, she was the precious child. She was older than me, but you know, she was daddy's little girl. She got everything. And we would go on trips, and there would always be a special adventure that they would take her on. And they'd take my brother. I didn't get to go. Now, I don't know why I didn't get to go, but I didn't. Okay. I was envious. Why not me? My uncle, whom I really loved my uncle, and these are not woe is me stories. These are just facts from the past, okay? But my uncle was stationed at Chanute Air Force Base here in Illinois. Traveling back and forth, he'd come and visit us. We lived in Moline. And one time he shows up, and he's got a brand spanking new shiny guitar for my brother. I wanted to learn to play guitar. I thought it'd be fun to play guitar. To this day, I can't do it. And then my parents set up lessons so my brother could take lessons to play the guitar. And by the way, today he is quite accomplished when it comes to playing guitar. He's very good. But I know I felt, in myself, I felt like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get a guitar? Why can't I get lessons? And in my family and in my life growing up, there's a lot of this type of stuff went on. And I finally came to terms with it and dealt with what was envy and what could have caused me to be bitter towards my brother and sister, who, if you know myself and my sister and my brother, you know we love each other dearly and we're very close. The point of these stories, really, is that I was very envious of my brother and sister for receiving gifts and special invites that just seemed to never come my way. I wasn't envious enough to hurt them, because envy actually wants what others have and will not be content until it receives it. Envy, more than just coveting something that belongs to someone else, you actually love what someone else has so much that you actually have ill will towards that person. I was on the wrestling team. There was one kid in the school that I couldn't beat, and he wrestled my weight class. And I wanted to be first seat. I wanted to be a team. And every time we would wrestle for position, he would beat me. Every single time. Drove me nuts. I did not especially like him. And the biggest reason I didn't like him is because he had the position I wanted. And this is where sometimes envy can hit home and it hurts. One day I get the word that Gary had been out hunting and was cleaning his shotgun. It was loaded, it went off, and it killed him. You know, that position suddenly wasn't too important to me. Yeah, I got the first team. And I didn't wish that on him. I didn't wish ill on him. I did wish he'd break a leg. But that's envy. And it eats at us and it drives at us in small ways. And you want to see something bad happen so that you can get what they possess. Just as love originates in the hearts of man, so does envy. Jesus made the following observation when he questioned about things entering a man's body and making him unclean or making him defiled. Mark 7, verse 20 says this, begins with this, says, "To which proceeds out of the man that which defiles the man, for from within, out of the heart of men proceeds the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, and murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile the man." Envy originates in our hearts, and therefore is not something that happens to us, but is something that comes from us. And because it comes from us, we're in the best position to exercise control and discipline over it to keep from sinning against God. Matthew 27, verse 18, says in reference to Jesus, "For he knew that because of envy they had handed him over." The chief priests were very envious of Jesus on several levels. First, he claimed to be the Son of God, and he really had proof that he was the Son of God. He performed miracles that none of them had ever seen or been able to perform in their lifetime. He didn't put on a show for the people in order to make a name for himself, and he related to the common people, something that they did not do. They were so envious of him that they made the decision early in his ministry that they must find a way to kill him. And if you remember, they wanted to kill Lazarus after he was raised from the dead by Christ, because he was a living testimony of who Christ was. And even though our envy may not lead us to kill someone, the thought of the sin is sin in and of itself. Consider this following scripture, Matthew 5:28. "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Luke 6:45, the man out of good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that that fills his heart. These verses stress the importance that we understand that whatever is within our hearts help to define who we are. Regardless of what the outside world sees, what is in your heart defines you to God. You may never act on your thoughts and desires, but from a spiritual standpoint, those thoughts and desires defines the real you. Who are you? Inside. And that's the thing, is we've studied these various sins and looked at the seven deadly. There's a lot of it. It's who are we inside? We can hide it well. We can keep people from seeing it. We can block it. But the truth is, God knows and you know, and as you examine yourself, and you examine yourself when it comes to sin, all sorts of sin, you have to be honest. Who here, if I was to ask, and this could be interesting, who here has never sinned? Raise your hand. Ah. Who here has sinned and you know things that you don't want other people to know? Yeah. Yeah. Because I know myself. And I know the sin that can be within me. And God knows it. That's the thing. God sees it because he sees the heart. Man looks upon the outward, but God looks upon the heart. And he sees that which is in me. And envy can be hidden, but it's still there. That's why Paul says in Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." When we're saved, our minds still function as they did when we were living in sin. And it's only after we're saved that we're able, through the Spirit of God, to begin the process of renewing our minds and getting rid of the garbage and replacing it with God's Word and His love. Envy perverts the love that is within us. Through envy, as we've discussed, we desire, long for the love and love something that belongs to someone else. Now listen to this. This envy, it could be a love for their gifts or talents, for their possessions, for their spouse, kids, etc. Nothing is exempt. And all of us have heard stories and know about situations where someone took something from someone else because they wanted it so badly. There have been times when people have killed someone because they could not have them and therefore did not want someone else to have them. You remember the situation that Solomon faced when he first became king? You know, Solomon prayed, and I love this, because when he became king, you know, God said, "Pray for what you want, and I'll give it to you." And Solomon prayed, and he had one simple thing. He prayed for wisdom. You know, when I went into ministry many, many years ago, that was what I prayed for. And the only reason I prayed for it is because Solomon did. And I saw how wise he was. And I just asked God, "Give me wisdom to serve you and to do the things you want me to do. And these two women, Bible describes them as harlots, they both had babies. And one night, and they shared a house, and one night, one of the women accidentally had smothered her son. She rolled over on him or whatever, didn't realize it, but she smothered her son, and he was dead. It was an accident, but it still happened. And the one whose son was now dead took her dead son and switched it with the other woman's son. When the other woman woke up and realized what had happened, she tried to get her living son back from the other woman. So to resolve the conflict, since no one knew who was the mother of the baby, they went before Solomon looking for resolution. And after Solomon heard their stories, and this sounds really callous, but I think this goes to the wisdom that God gave Solomon. Solomon heard their stories. He told one of the servants, says, bring the sword and cut the living baby in two or in half and give each woman a half. Now the woman whose baby it was cried out and asked that the baby's life be spared and that the baby should be given to the other woman. I would rather give this baby to the other woman so that the baby will live than to raise it myself as a mother. That's what she's saying. She knew she was the mother. She knew that was her child. But please don't cut it in two. The other woman cried out then, and instead of having the baby's life to be spared, she was crying, go ahead and cut it in half. Go ahead and do it. Cut it in half and give half to each of us. Now that was kind of the proof that Solomon needed is to who the true mother of the baby was. The mother who had lost the child was so envious of the one that had a child, she did not want the other, her roommate actually, to have any happiness. So if she got the child back, then she'd be happy and she'd be raising her child, a constant reminder to the one who'd lost their child. That's envy. That's how it works. And the woman's action was motivated by that. And she was happy to have the baby split in two so that neither she nor the baby's mother would have a son. Her envy took shape in the form of taking what her roommate had because she'd lost what she had. She didn't want her roommate to have something that she no longer had. The other point is that she went farther than just experiencing jealousy. She had ill will towards her roommate and actually acted on her desires. Any love or affection that her roommate held for her was probably lost after that interaction. Envy perverts the love that is within us, and we must learn how to deal with it. How do we keep ourselves in check when we have desires that may not be met, and perhaps desires that should not be met? How do we maintain our focus and our faith in God when it seems that those who love Him less than us end up with the most? How many times have I had somebody come and say, you know, so-and-so doesn't go to church and so-and-so may not even believe in God and they've got this big fancy house and they've got this fancy car and they've got this family and all that, and they have all of this and here I am a Christian, I believe in God and I come to church and I try to serve the Lord and do the things I'm supposed to do and it's getting me nowhere. That's envy. But the truth of that is, you've got something that the world doesn't. You've got a heavenly Father that loves you. You've got a heavenly home that is promised to you. And even more than that, you have the Holy Spirit within you to guide you through this life and to provide you the joy that you need to enjoy the life that you have. Envy perverts love. How do we maintain our focus when we look around and we see those that have more? How can we consistently be in the presence of those who seem to have much more than we do and not feel like there's something wrong because we have less? How do we stop the envy before it ever has a chance to spring to life within us? And folks, quite simply, the answer is this, it's love. Destroying envy through perfecting love, that's what we do. If envy is a form of perverted love, the only way to truly deal with it is by perfecting the love that is within us. And I want to explain this scriptural reference that pertains to the first story that I told you about Cain and Abel. 1 John 3:11-13 says this, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous." Do not be surprised if the world hates you. When John spoke of us loving each other, he makes a statement that we should love or should not love each other as Cain did. Cain's love for his brother was perverted and was demonstrated in his actions because he killed his brother. Cain wanted something that Abel had, and it angered him that he did not have it. That anger turned to an action that caused him to kill his brother. His love for his brother turned cold as his love for what his brother had grew. Folks, the only way we can deal with envy is through perfect love. In our actions daily, we can show love. And here are the actions of love as stated in 1 Corinthians 13. By the way, husbands and wives that are here today, as I read this, I want you to think about it. Because this is the love that should exist between you and your spouse. Well, you know what? It's the love that should just exist between you and your children, too. These are the actions of love. And this is what should be there. It says, love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Uh-oh. Jealousy, envy, okay? Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Oh. You ever have a spouse do something that just made you upset? Just kind of drove you to the wall. Love. Love keeps no record of that. Now, that should speak to us and say, neither should we. What was it Donna pulled on me the other day? It's something she read, and I'm going to get this wrong, and it really wasn't an argument type thing. If a wife asks her husband to do something, does she still need to remind him 6 months later? She had a point to all that, but I'm not sure what it was. It keeps no account of wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Thank you, T. But it rejoices with the truth, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Folks, here's the truth. Love never fails. And every time I read through this listing of what perfected love involves, I realize how much work I still have to do. If you examine the emotions and the feelings related to envy, you can see that only perfected love can enable you to overcome it. Remember, envy in and of itself is love. But perverted love And to conquer envy, you must establish your heart and set your focus on understanding and perfecting what God's word is and what it says about love. In all situations and circumstances, when dealing with all sorts of people, love is patient, love is kind, it's never jealous. No matter how successful you are or the possessions that you may own, love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. It never acts unbecomingly. When you have the opportunity to show off your talents, just remember that love does not seek its own. In other words, love does not point to yourself and say, look how great I am. When you deal with people who you know do not have your best interest at heart, remember, love is not easily provoked and does not take into account a wrong suffered. When you read the paper or you hear something about someone that could be false, remember, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. But in the truth, in everything that we do, if our actions, thoughts, and intentions are filtered through God's definition of love, we'll do well. And that is the only way to overcome envy, is to perfect that love that God has planned for us. So what are you envious of this morning? Now, there may be some that say, oh, hey, I got that licked. I'm not envious of anything. Good for you. Maybe that tells me then that you figured out this whole love thing. I just like it. Love is perfect. And perfect love does not envy. So how is the love today that you have? For those around you, those in your life, what others might have, where are you? Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Lord, we know that Satan just loves to trip us up, and he loves to just put seeds in our mind that cause us to doubt, that cause us to question, even seeds and thoughts that would cause us to wish ill on other people. But through your love and the love that we have in our heart that you give to us, we don't have to battle this sin of envy, but we can actually be happy for others. We can rejoice with them. We can rejoice with those who rejoice. And Father, we know that we can love all people because that's the love you've given us. So where there is envy this morning, I just pray that your love would shine through. And Father, that we would walk in your way. Being examples, Father, not of perfection, for we know we can't do that, but being examples of a living God, of a loving Christ, showing that there's a Holy Spirit living within us. And so now, Lord, we just lift these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.